There we go.
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
better now.
Thompson, how are you doing, man?
Yeah, very good. Thanks. How are you doing, sir?
All good, mate. All good. Paul, good to see you, brother. Boys, how are we finding the Saturday challenges workouts? So you boys are in there every week, kicking some ass. That's good.
They're fun.
Good, man. You'll be rocking a Mr. CrossFit over there. You'll be plowing through those, no problem.
It's nice to see that I still have my conditioning is still there.
Yeah. Good, man. Well, mate, well, I'm looking forward to having you at the muscle camp as well. I can't wait to see you.
It'll
Congratulations.
be great.
Yeah, be a great weekend, man. Paul, how are you getting on this week, brother? Okay.
Yeah, fine. Sorry, on my phone, took a while to figure out how to mute.
All good. Who else we got in? We got Mike, Nathaniel, Thompson's in as well. Thompson, you meal prepping? What are you up to?
Actually got stopped by my colleague on my way home, so despite my plans to eat early, I'm eating late.
Oh, well, we'll chat tomorrow, man. Don't worry. Good morning, Nate. Good to see you, man. Oh, good to hear from you. Boys, so on the topic of discussion today, we're going to be talking about, yes, Nate, you okay? Good morning, sir. I'm just letting Chris Clark in the house as well. He's just come into the room. Mr. Energy Man himself. So on the topic of today, we're going to be discussing performance, training and performance. And we're going to be discussing a couple of performance peptides, which will go hand in hand with a few things, but obviously want us to cover the basics of a few things as well, because there's a lot of, I'm sure a lot of you guys on this call will know that there's a lot of talk about peptides now, and they're becoming way more popular, especially around the GLPs and the GLP-1s and GLP-3s and things like that. Let me know in, let me see how many's in this room, actually. So we've got another 10, 11. Drop some comments in or unmute yourselves. Just let me know your understand. Like, is everybody familiar with peptides? They're starting to hear all the buzz about them and so forth. Yeah. Thompson, we've had a little discussion on this past couple of weeks as well. Nate, have
Yeah.
you been discussing any with Dan in your calls or anything?
Not as a general. I'm still trying to make sure that I'm doing the basics right before I start to
Yeah,
look at
exactly. Yeah,
the other
perfect,
stuff. I
man. That's
know, yeah, that's more where I sit. Dan's
yeah.
brought it up a couple of times, but I'm not till I'm well, till I'm think that I'm ready, then I'll discuss some of that stuff with him.
Yeah, there's a time and a place for them, right? So I want to give us some good information on the thought process behind them, but obviously what precedes those things as well. So some people just throw peptides at things and hoping it can be the magic bullet, but what I'd like to discuss and start with is what needs to come before the peptides. And then once things are in place, what these specific peptides will do to help. Like the, so imagine I'm building a cake, right? I want to make sure all the foundations are met, the flours in there, the sugars, the eggs, and so forth. And then the peptides, like the cherry on top, or like the coating on the outside, which will make it look nice and fancy, you know? So similar to supplements, it's supplementing something. So we have to remember that peptides are basically just sequences of amino acids, right? And they all target a specific tissue in the body for a specific response on what that tissue does. So if there is degeneration in certain parts of the tissues in the body, those peptides can help support those and upregulate them a little bit. But the basics have to be down first. And I'll talk through some a little bit of biochemistry on that as well, and it'll hopefully kind of make sense by the time we get to the end of it. Thompson, this will make sense for you as well, especially when we're talking about like energy production and so forth, because we've gone through your genetics, and with yours we can see there's some struggles that you're going to have in terms of getting the energy production that you want based off the genetic predispositions you have, right? So now we've got a real good look at that. We've got a real good plan to move forward with, right? So supplementation, it's not just straight to a peptide, it's supplementation first, but there's a logical thought process of how the peptide can help support you, right? Because you'll be prone to way more oxidative stress. Make sense? So when we're looking at anything training performance, and training performance from a muscular point of view, hypertrophy point of view, I'm talking like a VO2 max point of view as well, like cardiovascularly as well, for optimal training performance, my mind always goes back to, can I produce the energy for the signal that I want? So the signal I'm sending the body, right? So I need to be able to make energy throughout any type of training session. So whether that's going to be lifting a 5 RM or a 2 RM or 1 RM, I'm doing 10 to 12 reps, 20 reps, or I'm doing sprints on the watt bike, or I'm doing a long distance run. My body needs to make energy, right? So even if I'm like focusing on a big set before I get ready for that set, my brain needs energy. Everything in the body functions through cellular functions. So my brain needs a lot of energy to function. So the main source of that current is going to be ATP. So if I want my training performance to be optimal, I need to ensure that I'm able to produce ATP at a nice, slow, long duration where needed, and then a high level of ATP to output fast as well and really efficiently at a high level. So that requires my cells function very, very well. So all of my cells in my body, I want to make sure that if we all understand that when we first came into Muscle Intelligence, some of you guys are new, some of you guys have been with us for years. Thompson, you've been a couple of years now. Chris Clark, you've been with me for nearly 3 years now. John, you've been with Greg for a number of years too. I know Nate, you've been with Dan for quite a while too. Anybody that comes in, we want to make sure that there's six things that we lock in as the foundation principles, right? We want to be making sure that you move right, for sure. Eat right, sleep right, think right, your environment's correct, and you need to breathe right. So all of those things will be helping us obviously optimize movement for sure, but nutritionally, we're making sure that gut health is in a good place. We're maximizing the down regulation of as much inflammation as possible and improving insulin sensitivity. Like those are the main pillars that we want to start to make sure that we lock down. So nutrition is going to be key, because if I'm just slamming any old food into the system and I'm driving up inflammation, sorry, John, I'm just seeing that you've used BPC-157 and TB-500 post-surgery for your rotator cuff, yeah? Yeah, they're great, man. Like, really good. Great healing products. We'll touch on those as well a little bit if we have any questions on them. But back to six pillars, we have to make sure that those are locked down. So the reason we do that is to get the cells functioning at a really good optimal level. So we're taking care of this on the front end anyway. Right, so nutritionally, that's going to help support lower inflammation. The lower inflammation you have, the much better response you're going to have in terms of dropping body fat for the cells to function to create ATP, so your energy sources. And obviously, if you're breathing right as well, that's going to help with parasympathetic tone. That's going to get you out of a sympathetic state, but also bring you into a sympathetic state where needed for training performance as well. So yeah, I've still got quite a few guys coming into the room. Let me make sure. There's Shalash. Good to see you, man.
Got it. I pressed the other link. It wouldn't let me log on, but
I'll make sure the link sent properly. So when you get the invites on the Wednesdays, I'll make sure there's the proper links in there. For some reason, the right link didn't get onto the post.
Yeah, it went to something else, but I'm good. I'm here.
Good to see you, bro.
Yeah.
So yeah, just talking about the six pillars and like optimizing foundations first for training performance, Shalash,
and okay,
making sure that inflammation drops, right? So we want to make sure inflammation's low. Insulin sensitivity is one of the primary things that we want to focus on to improve muscle mass. Obviously, glucose uptake to the cell, which the more glucose I can get into the cell, the sugars and not even glucose, but fatty acids as well. Because some people will find that they can't get fat into the cell as well. Right, and there's nutrients that are dependent on this. And I'll start to look at the biochemistry pathways a little bit to make it simple. I won't go in too deep into it, but I'll make it as simple as we can do. But everything that we eat, if we've got a good functioning gut health digestive system, we're going to be able to absorb and assimilate all of the foods that we're bringing in. The more insulin sensitive we are, we get more glucose uptake and more fatty acid uptake into the cell. So we can start to use the macronutrients we need to create ATP. That's the end product of everything, right? Just shut that off. So what really makes that happen? So obviously we've got breath, we've got environment, we've got sleep's going to be a great thing too. But when we start to break this down, nutrition, you'll be a fine exist because you've gone from night and day to your nutrition and your body composition's changed dramatically. Your energy's gone up dramatically. And all we've done is focus on those basics. And now we're starting to layer in potential certain performance peptides to help you really take that step to the next level, right? So what we're looking at with the biochemistry of it, anytime that I eat, so let's say I eat carbohydrates and fats, protein as well, but that's one thing that's not going to be really broken down fast enough to be used as an energy source. It can be. Your body can use amino acids for energy production. It's called gluconeogenesis, which is making new glucose from protein. But the easiest one is going to be carbohydrates, especially when we're at a higher level of performance and we're really starting to output and your heart rate goes up. That's when the body's going to want to utilize that pretty quick. But when we're at a resting heart rate or like a really low heart rate, the body should be functioning off fats. So we want the body to be flexible enough to switch between the two. So if you eat food or you fast, for example, ideally you shouldn't be feeling any fluctuations in energy. That's an ideal scenario. And if that is the case, then that's a good sign that you're metabolically flexible because you're able to just go from carbohydrates utilization to straight into fatty acids without any change in energy, right? So if I, one of the clients I'm still working with right now, his first, I think this first 6 months or so with us, we were, to be fair, man, he was on point with his food. He was training really well. He was losing fat, but not at the rate that I was expecting, especially for someone that was 100% adherent. So we ran an organic acid test, which is a urine test. And we could see based off that test, he was just using way so too much. His lactate was super high and he wasn't able to get fat into the cell. So straight away, we had to start switching around the macronutrients. So all that's telling me is he's not metabolically flexible. He can't get fats into the cell. So if I gave him more carbohydrates, his blood sugar will go up. It would drop back down. It would go back up, drop back. And he's getting these energy slumps and so forth because his blood sugar is swinging all over the place. Whereas ideally, when he's not training, I want him utilizing fat. Right? So his energy should be just nice and stable. Okay. So what that's telling me is his cells are a little bit resistant. Okay. He's producing way too much lactate. There's a little bit of backup here with nutrients and so forth. And as I might even practice on a whiteboard tonight for you guys, and I'll show you some biochemistry stuff. I'm going to just preempt you here. My drawing isn't the best when I use these whiteboards. So bear with me. Okay. I'm no artist on this thing, but all we had to do was go, okay, well, it's pointless me pushing carbohydrates anymore. So we pulled the carbohydrates so his body could start learning how to use the fat. And within the first 24 hours, he messaged me on WhatsApp. He's like, Gav, I can't drive my car. Like, I feel a mess. I got brain fog. I can't focus. I can't drive my car. And I was like, perfect. Greg's panicking. He's like, give him some carbohydrates. He's got a function. I was like, nope, that's, if I give him more of that, we're just going to be in the same place. So I told him to hang tight, get an Uber where he ever needs to go, because that told me exactly my thought process. He's not metabolically flexible. So we have to get him flexible. So we have to pull carbs. We had to do that, bring him down. So we forced his body to start utilizing fats. We had to give him more carnitine, a few other supplements as well to help the biochemistry of these pathways, because carnitine helps recycle fat into the cell, right? So we had to upregulate that. There's a few other supplements we gave him too, but within a week, he had the way bigger energy. Like, this is night and day. This is crazy. It only took him a week. Some people takes two, some people takes three. But within 7 days, he was like feeling fantastic. And he just dropped fat for fun. But we had to change his nutrition, obviously. We had to change his training a little bit because he couldn't do any high repetitions because he had no carbohydrates to utilize at that point. So we had to change a few things. But all that's telling me is, if I keep slamming in, let me just pop a whiteboard now, if I can do that. There we go. Zoom is updated. It's all over the place. So if we think about, let's say that It's there. That's my mitochondria. So this is my cell. This is my mitochondria. It's a really bad one. Just going to draw a little circle here. Thompson, don't mess around on here now, mate. Come on. One, two, three, four, five. This is the worst drawing possible of a cell, but we're going to go with it anyway. So into this cell, you can drive carbohydrates or glucose, and you can also drive in fatty acids, okay? Protein as well. But as we start to break glucose down, so this is where Thompson struggles, right? So he's trying to break down sugars from glucose to get into the cell, and he has genetic predispositions that shut off here. So it doesn't allow him to utilize carbohydrates very well. And what that's gonna, what's gonna happen now for Thompson, he's gonna create a lot of oxidative stress here. So we have to supplement him with a little bit more B vitamins. We gotta do a few other bits and pieces to help rechannel this and get it into the cell another way. And what also is gonna happen, this is gonna start to get backed up as well, right? So we need a lower carbohydrate amount first, supplement, so we can bypass a few of these pathways a little bit and support him there, and then eventually get into the cell. Now, what happens as this is broken down, these get fatty acids get broken down as well. They get broken down into molecules called acetyl-CoA. Doesn't mean anything, doesn't matter what the names are. But the way they get broken down, you need B vitamins to do that. So to get right into this cell, you need B2, B3, B5, alpha-lipoic acid, all these nutrient-dependent things that should be in the diet to break these down thousands and millions of times a day to get into the cell. And then once they're in, they get into this little pathway here called the citric acid cycle. And these actually donate hydrogens to this part of the pathway here as well. And to get these carriers of Bs, these hydrogens, you need B2 and B3. Right. So you can see there's a lot of nutrients really, really dependent on this. So if we're not efficient with our nutrition and we haven't got inflammation down, this section here is going to get backed up. So adding peptides into this is going to be a mess because you're forcing something to run faster without having all of this opened up and like really, really running efficiently. Right. So this is why we start with the basics. Like Nate, you're doing that with Dan, and you're, you'll know the time. If you want to push a lever a little bit more, then we could utilize those things. But if this doesn't run very well, then we need to make sure that's running, right? Just adding stuff to that is going to be like throwing stuff on a fire. You know, it's not going to put it out. So once we get, the reason I'm going through this as well is it'll make sense when I start to talk about the peptides. Because for this to function very well, we need B2 and B3 to go over to these complexes. So there's five of them. So this is the fifth, and this is where ATP is made. So we need all of these things to work together in unison. So complex 1 and 2 pass off to number 3. Number 3 passes off to number 4. And again, all of these pass-offs are dependent on nutrients. We need CoQ10, we need iron, we need manganese, we need selenium, like all of these things that we should be getting in through nutrition, ideally, or a little bit like more supplementation if the nutrition isn't as optimal. Okay. So all that being said, all the basics need to be done. If this doesn't run properly, your training performance won't run properly. It's impossible. You're not going to produce enough energy. Make sense? Now, I'm going to turn this off one sec. And hopefully I'm bored the living daylights out of you talking about biochemistry, but I try to make it as simple as possible to show, like, it's so dependent on nutrients and good quality food and being on point with those things, right? So making sure all that's done. Any questions on that so far? Does that make sense?
I have a question on, you know, we keep on harping back to inflammation.
Yeah.
You know, and we all know, you know, in high inflammation is bad. How do we really know how much inflammation we have? Like,
yeah, that'll show up pretty well on blood tests that we see from you, Shalash. So I know you're doing your bloods right now for myself and Greg. So there's certain markers on the blood test that we look at. So one of them would be CRP. That's a good marker to look at. But we would also look at Greg. Like, Greg's a master at this. I'm not as up to speed on, he does this day in, day out. That's why I leave it to Greg. But we know certain things on bloods, like ferritin levels and so forth. If they're in comparison to other parts of your red blood cells, and they're out of whack, that can highlight some lower grade inflammation as well. We've got one client of mine at the moment that he gets a little bit sick, but he's got very low energy. And when we look at his blood work, for the most part, it looks pretty good, but his energy is so low. And the only thing that we can point to is because there's certain markers with his iron is low and certain parts with his ferritin is out of whack, is signaling to us the only thing that we can see is an underlying viral infection, which is driving up inflammation at a low grade, which brings his testosterone down. So he's got a lower level of testosterone, okay, and an underlying potential infection. And until we find that infection, clear it out, we should then see low-grade inflammation drop, and his testosterone should start to come back up to speed as we start to bring his, obviously, his calories in the right place and so forth, and training is a little bit lower at the moment. But that's how we started to see that. Now, does that make sense? So I'll give you some insight. So this test, I believe, is only in the US at the moment. I'm not too sure. I'm not 100% on that one. But there's one that I'm looking at with one of the guys that I consult with. He's a great teacher of mine. And it's not available in Europe or the UK yet, but it's called the SUPAR test. And it tests specifically for low-grade inflammation. So this is one test that if we can knock that out, we can see any underlying inflammation, which all this underlying stuff, if that keeps to continue on and on later in the life, we do see I think it's like a 20% reduction in lifespan that can happen, right? I'm sure that's the right percentage on the number, but inflammation's big, man. If we can get control of that, we'll be in a great place, a real good place. And then this is where we can look at optimizing what we can optimize for foundations. And then this is where you'll see some of these peptides can really support that type of stuff as well. And one or two of them we'll touch on tonight. There's obviously other ones as well. Like John mentioned in there, he was using BPC-157. That's great for inflammatory purposes. Things like KPV can be great as well. That's more digestive as well. So if somebody has digestive inflammation, that can be a great peptide to use for digestive inflammation. You can get the oral BPC, which is good for digestive inflammation as well. So those are things that we can start to put in place to help support as we're doing the foundations on top as well. But it doesn't take away that, like, just because I'm taking this peptide or a supplement, I don't need to focus on the rest. That'll be like pissing in the ocean type of thing, right? It'd be a waste of time. But inflammation is super important, man. It's a good question. Now, when we go through two of the peptides, which will make sense. The reason I started off with the biochemistry, because as I started to go through these, it'll start to make sense. And I'm just going to share my screen. So I've got a little presentation to go. Which is here. So when we look at performance peptides, or to be honest, for the most part, I like to start with something like this. And I think, Jalash, we've discussed this right now because you're starting to get in a good place. We're just waiting on a few things with your blood work. But performance peptides, one or two that I do like to start with is something called MOTC and SS31. And we'll go through why and what those do. So MOTC, these are mainly mitochondrial peptides. Remember, everything in the body starts with the cell. Everything is cellular function. So what we see with MOTC, this was discovered in 2015. It regulates insulin sensitivity. It prevents diet-induced obesity in animals. So a lot of this stuff from our side of the pond is mainly done in mice and animals and so forth. We do have some human data as well, but this one's being done on rodents and animals for the most part here. A lot of the stuff has been done in Russia, which we don't get a lot of the research on over here. So a lot of this stuff has been researched since the 70s in Russia, okay? MOTC improves physical performance, but MOTC declines with age. So as we age and mature, these things will start to drop in the body. So remember, this is a synthetic peptide, but it targets certain tissues in the body, which this should be naturally produced as well, okay? So when we see, this is the price, so the papers are here as well. This decline correlates with insulin resistance, reduce metabolic flexibility. So remember the metabolic flexibility I mentioned with my client where he couldn't use fats and carbohydrates. He couldn't switch between the two. So that's going to reduce as you age as well. And it's also going to give you a lower exercise capacity, okay, as this declines. But the one thing it does, it activates AMPK, which increases glucose uptake, increases fatty oxidation, and improves mitochondrial efficiency. So the mitochondria, where you just saw me with that citric acid cycle and go into the electron transport chain, it improves the efficiency of that, right? So it starts to upregulate everything in there. So if it's slowing down, you're getting workers in there doing the job for that. And the primary tissue target is muscle mass, okay? So skeletal muscle. So in the muscle, so if you're using it for weight training, for example, it's going to enhance that glucose uptake into the muscle. It improves the insulin signaling to get the glucose in, and obviously improves metabolic adaptations as well. So if you're trying to improve cardiovascular performance there. So you can see here in the mice as well, it reversed insulin resistance in mice and improved glucose uptake in aged animals too. This is done in 2015. So the mice gained less fat, better glucose control, and physical performance improved also. So running capacity in this case. Now, this is where it gets interesting, right? So we spoke about inflammation with Shilash here. We've shown that it downregulates IL-6, TNF-alpha, and interleukin-B as well. So Thompson, you had a predisposition for IL-6 as well. So this is one we discussed for yourself. And obviously, we discussed the SS31 too, but you can see if any of you have certain genetic variants with inflammatory markers on your genes, like these things can we start to look at, obviously working on the basics, but this can help quench a lot of the stuff that you need to be working on as well. So there's not a lot of huge human data on this. It's all, like I said, it's been done in a lot of mice and animals and so forth, but they have done a MOTC analog, which is CB4211. And they've completed phase one safety studies, and it's been so far well tolerated and it's pretty safe in humans. So it hasn't been the full analog of MOTC. So just to bear this in mind, people have used TB500 or have heard of TB500. They typically use that with BPC-157 for repair and healing. I think John mentioned they use that for his healing stuff. TB500 is like an analog or a fragment of thymus and beta 4. So thymus and beta 4 is the big part of it. TB500 is one part of thymus and beta 4. So it's similar stuff to this. So the CB4211 is part of the analog of MOTC. So it's like a fragment of that. Okay. So we can see that MOTC is going to actually increase the efficiency of your mitochondria, where all that energy is starting to be synthesized and get ready to make ATP. So it improves the efficiency, but it's also going to increase the number of mitochondria within the cells as well. That's another thing that it does. So if I want to burn more energy, if I have more of them, I can just tap into fat way more and make more ATP and just burn more fuel. So it helps you do that. That's why it improves endurance as well and metabolic capacity in the muscle. Okay. So all of the mitochondria start to work better. Now, this one is pretty sweet. This one is one that I've used myself. I think it should be used quite a little, like first with a lot of people, and you'll start to understand why in a second. So SS31 specifically binds to something called cardiolipin. So if I go back in a second, and you'll see where it binds as well. It supports the integrity of the electron transport chain. So remember, we had the circle on the mitochondria, and I drew five lines. That's the electron transport chain. And what holds this all together is cardiolipin. So this goes straight directly to that chain and actually starts to glue together and stops the leaking of anything out of this chain. So if there's any parts missing there, you're not able to transfer all of these hydrogens over, even if you have the nutrients there. You can't even try, if there's leakages coming out, you're increasing oxidative stress, you're increasing reactive oxygen species. So what's that going to do? Increase inflammation, right? So increases ATP output because we reduce the electron leakage. So it just acts as that glue. So imagine you've got a builder come into your house and he's grinding all the tiles so the tiles don't fall off. That's what that's doing. It's like it's putting everything together and making sure it sticks. There's no leak at all. Okay. So what we see with reactive oxygen species, now this is going to happen as we make ATP. It's going to happen anyway. And this is where we want antioxidants to quench the oxidative stress. So that's where nutrients are going to be good. We should make internal antioxidants as well through glutathione. So what you'll see here, once this is all in place and there's no leakages, we get a 40 to 60% reduction in reactive oxygen species. So that drops. So that decreases oxidative stress straight away because we've sealed up the leaks. And that then also preserves internal glutathione. So if I'm constantly making oxidative stress because I've got leaky cells, my body has to produce more glutathione if I can to quench all the oxidative stress that I'm handling. So by default, by using SS31, if we seal all these leaks up, you reduce our inflammation, oxidative stress straight away, and we increase internal glutathione production because we're not using it as much. Okay, so we're preventing DNA damage from oxidative damage. Okay. Obviously, the structure is going to be there. We improve the network efficiency. So we enhance ATP production. We improve metabolic resilience. Much more reduce cellular senescence markers, which means we have less injured cells or dead cells to be taken away through autophagy. So the body wants to get rid of those things. So this is where the defective cells can hang around a little bit. If we're creating too much oxidative stress and damage, they become defective and they could potentially be useless and the body needs to get rid of them. Well, now we got way less of them. So that's less inflammation for the body to withstand as well. And obviously then by default, we're going to have way lower inflammatory signaling. Okay. Now SS31 works across a lot of tissues, heart, kidney, brain, and skeletal muscle mass, because all of those require a lot of mitochondria. Okay. Move that on. So what the main thing we see is higher energy outputs, obviously, because we're now enhancing ATP. So we're getting less leakage. We can get that transport chain working really, really effectively. And we can produce more energy, reduce oxidative stress. And we've got a lot of organ protection now because the mitochondria work way better. We got more density. The heart can work better. The kidneys can work better. Muscles can really contract better, produce more energy. And the brain can function really well as well. So what you might tend to see, if you get like that fog and focus and things working later on in the day as well. And obviously we see this support for healthy aging too. Now, the main place this was studied in humans, it was a 36-week open label extension trial. And this was tested in humans, and it was tested mainly in Barth syndrome, which is basically a genetic predisposition of cardiolipin deficiency. So people that had this syndrome had that cardiolipin in between the electron transport chain, those five sections I mentioned earlier, they have defects in that. So they actually gave them SS31, which the actual name for is olamapertide. They gave them this for 36 weeks, and they were using, on average, 40 milligrams a day. Some of them went up to 80 milligrams or 100 milligrams, which if you worked out that and you bought it from a research lab, you'd be paying a lot of money, like a lot of money. So this is a crazy amount of funding to get this work done, this research done. And these findings support us actually supported by the FDA's approval in 2025. So this is a well-researched peptide, FDA approved. And what we see with this, they had improved cardiac stroke volume. So it improved heart function. It improved knee extensor muscle strength. So like leg extension, squats, things like that, their muscle strength improved. 6-minute walk test went up by nearly 100 meters over that time. And obviously all the symptom assessment scores went down as well. So this was actually done very, very well in humans. So this is one that I do like to use first off because of the studies on it, FDA approved, and we can really see the benefits in mitochondria and ATP production and energy production, right? So out of those two, if I was going to start anything in terms of any peptide, I would probably run with one of those two, probably SS31 first, to make sure everything starts to work in that, inside the cell. So I'll give you another example. If that doesn't work, I'll ask you this question. If you've got leaky cells and you haven't used SS31, you've got a little bit of inflammation, we know there's oxidative stress going on a little bit, and your cells are leaking a touch, and you took NAD, which is basically more fuel on top, what would happen? You wouldn't feel anything, right? You'd be putting more fuel into the system, but you can't create the ATP because you've got leaking in the cells, right? You're going to have a little bit more oxidative stress. You're going to have more inflammation. They ain't working properly. So you can put more fuel on top if you wanted to. You probably wouldn't feel too much because you're still leaking. You're not able to convert and make ATP as well. I feel a little bit because you're just dumping a lot in, but it wouldn't be as optimal, right? So we need to make sure everything is optimized. So that might be one that you start to look at or think about if you're going to do that. But again, first off, we need the basics in place, right? Shilas, this is one we've spoken about personally with yourself as well. So that's why I wanted to do a little bit on this talk. So I know a lot of our guys are chatting about peptides, and I've had a lot of questions actually from some clients in my DMs too about, are we covering peptides? Can we learn about this? Where would you start? Why would I take tesamolin or epamolin or SS31 I've heard about? So I was like, right, okay, let's start with the basics. Let's really start to hone this in, allow you to understand where they're useful and why you would start with certain ones first before others, right? It's not to say you couldn't start with a tesamorelin or an epamorelin if somebody wanted to or needed to. Like if sleep is one of the main areas that you need to focus on as well, there's certain peptides you can use alongside those, depending on what the biggest lever is for you as well. But in terms of, in my opinion, everybody needs to make energy, right? The body needs energy to run on everything. Make sense? So any questions on any of the peptides we covered tonight, boys? I think you're muted a minute, Shilash.
Oh, here it is. How long do you normally run it? Is this something you only do once a year? You do it ongoing? Is it a 6 week, 4 week? Is it, you know, and how do you test before and after if it actually even made an effect? Yeah. Is it visual? Is it, do you feel it? You know, I think with better mitochondrial health, you should, your output is more, you should drop more body fat, or you should at least be, you know, one or the other, more muscular, more, you know, more everything.
Yeah, 100%. Mate, great question. So in terms of the MOTC, if you look at that one first, that's what I started with. You would probably run about 5 milligrams a week total, and you'd only run that for about 4 weeks. So the 5 milligrams, you split it like in three doses per week, nothing too crazy. You run that for 4 weeks. You could probably run it again twice a year, another twice maybe if you needed to, but you give yourself a break. And then the SS31, you could probably run for 6 to 8 weeks, maybe 4 to 8 weeks. And like you said, like you saw in the studies, they were doing 40 milligrams a day, which is crazy high. But obviously that was with Barth syndrome. So they really needed to make an effect. Maybe, I'm not sure, but they saw real good effects in different organs as well. But 1 to 2 milligrams a day for about 8 weeks for SS31 is totally fine. You would drop that back off. And then run another load when you did the MOTC again further down in the year. So you wouldn't need to continually take it every day. You just do it in protocols, right? So for example, a prime time to run something like MOTC and SS31 is when you want to make more ATP, or you're using more cardiovascular type training to help the regeneration, because that's the response that I'm trying to get out of you. So I'm pushing your mitochondria a little bit. I'm making them healed up. I'm teaching it to burn and create ATP, and I'm keeping the structures really, really solid. So you have to remember the MOTC is going to help you generate more mitochondria as well. So cardiovascular training does that too, especially zone 2. So if I'm doing zone 2 training, I'm giving you MOTC, I'm sealing up all the leakages in the cells. All of a sudden, you're going to be a fat burning machine. We just upregulated everything on gas. Like you're going to be cooking. Do you know what I'm saying? So everything there is set up for a specific response. Now, once we've done that, and you've got your mitochondria functioning very well, they're optimal. You're making ATP. You're going through glucose. You're going through fat. It's functioning superbly. Well, all of a sudden, now your metabolic resilience is high. That means I can give you more stress in terms of weight training, which is going to be more nervous system dominant. So the more fit you are, the more I can push you in the weight room. So I bring the cardio benefits, the cardio training down a little bit. Now I can take the muscle building effects up even more, right? So that's when you might cycle in something in like tesamorelin, something like that, which is like a, it helps stimulate. So that's called a secretagogue. So it helps stimulate the brain to secrete growth hormone. So you would take that alongside. It can help with deep sleep or sleep in general, but it helps your body's natural production of growth hormone, which can obviously help with a little bit of muscle mass as well and muscle retention as you're pushing muscle building effects too. So there's like different phases of training. You might do different things with peptides, but making sure, like, again, if you're building muscle, you want your protein in a good place and so forth. It's not like you can just eat whatever you want and just by taking tesamorelin, you're gonna get jacked or anything. It's not like taking anabolic steroids or anything like that. It's not that fast, but it's just gonna support your system to keep moving things along at a nice pace. And in terms of like the response you would see an increase, especially if you're increasing mitochondria, you've sealed up all the leaks, you're working on your fitness, your energy should go right up. For sure, you'll see body fat loss, you'll see better body composition, you're going to see more energy in the system as well. Like I said, potential more focus through the day as well, because your brain function is going to go up too. So you have to remember the SS31 is going to hit a lot of targets in terms of tissue. So you'll find those receptors on heart, brain, kidney, kidney as well. So a lot of areas. So all of those improve because of mitochondrial health. Your cardiac function is going to go through the roof, right? So that means if I can increase cardiac output, well, by default, I can work you harder in your cardiovascular training session. Your heart doesn't have to pump as much because your stroke volume is higher. So your heart rate doesn't climb as much at a higher output. So you can see those types of benefits as well. And the way you would test that is your wattages on your mass test. Make sense? It's a good question, man. Real good question. Anything else, boys? Comes to mind? Nathaniel, I think you put a message in the box, right?
Yeah, put a message in the box. And then there's one basically.
Yes, yeah, Australia's a tough one, man. Yeah. I know I've got a client of mine that's in Australia, in Sydney. He's managed to get some. Are you in Sydney, Nathaniel?
I'm 2 hours, 3 hours.
Okay. So might have to put you in touch with George, man. Like George has managed to get a few. George Rumanos. He's an absolute legend, man. He's managed to get a couple of peptides in. So maybe you guys need to meet up and have a little coffee and exchange some SS31 or something. How do you determine where to buy from? Third party testing is important. How do you know this legit AI tech? Is that John? Is that John? Just J on there. Who's in the room? No. Who's J? J, J, J. I'll answer anyway. Here we go. There are hundreds of online sellers. BioLongevity Labs is probably the best one that you could use. That's very reputable. We know Jay quite a lot. The products are legit. We are trying to source some other places as well. So we do anything that we'd recommend has always been third-party tested. All the assays are done. Oh, Jay, nice to have you with us, man. Started 2 weeks ago. Fantastic. Hope you're doing okay so far. If there's any feedback that I can take and good or anything we need to work on, just let me know. Hopefully you're having a good start with your coach. But if there's anything you need, always reach out to me as well, man. We'll always provide you with the best places to go for peptides. BioLongevity Labs is probably the best one that you, and I think they're still doing the peptides as well. They might not be selling retatrutide anymore, or they don't have it in stock anymore. But I was chatting with a client earlier, he was actually on the site and he was purchasing quite a few supplements and peptides from there as well. So they're still good to go. BioLongevity Labs are probably the best one for the US. But yeah, we want to make sure they're good third-party tested. All the certificates are done on it, in terms of quality and things like that. Highest grade, 99% purity. That's what you'd be looking for. Yeah, that's how they're doing it. You need to register as a researcher on BioLongevity Labs. It's just what you'll notice as well, guys, when you go onto these sites, now they're asking you to confirm that you're over 21 or 18, whatever it is, that you understand it's for research purposes only. BioLongevity, you sign up as a researcher, 21. And then they all get you into obviously the back end of the site and you can purchase what you need to purchase. But boys, I hope that was helpful. Anything else that I can support you with? Anything top of mind for you boys going into the end of this week, going into next week? Even if it's not peptides? Can you see the link between the peptides now and obviously the foundation's first two, but how that can start to increase that training performance we spoke of, right? Especially with those two that we just spoke on today. There are more to the, there's hundreds of peptides that we could discuss on. But when we break it down, there's just a small handful that we go, right, boom, there's a lot of data on this one. This is going to be more optimal, you know? So you can see the benefits of human performance and training performance, especially with Shalash's cardio output coming up soon.
Yeah, it always scares me.
Mate, just focus on the back end of it, man. You're going to be an absolute machine.
Yeah.
So even by the time we get to muscle camp, man, like you'll see a difference. Compared to the foot, like I know you did the last muscle camp. When you come to this one, when we do your mass test again, those numbers should be up for sure by a good 50 to 100 watts. You ready, boy? Here we go. You lock it in. Yep. So gents, as I just mentioned, Shalash is coming to the muscle camp. So we've actually started selling quite a few spots already. I'm not sure how many are left. I need to get Matt's. Matt's unfortunately he's not able to make it tonight, but we had quite a few sign up. I know John, you're all locked in for the camp already. Thompson, you're going to find out by Friday. So the muscle camp is 20th to the 22nd of March. It's going to be a great 3 days. It'll be myself, Greg, Dan will be there as well. Obviously, Ben too. We're going to be in MI40 in Tampa. Basically, the whole weekend, we're going to be doing some assessments on the first day, a little bit similar to the last one. But my hope is that we start to analyze you a little bit more like hands-on. So we're going to be working out the exact exercises you need to take home and mainly focus on those exercises based off your individual mechanics. So we're going to be focusing on those over the days. We'll be doing lower body, upper body training. You'll know how to stabilize, execute, to focus on those main cues on those exercises for you. So when you go home, you're locked in. Like you know exactly what to do in and out, which will accelerate your results even faster. I know, Thompson, you've been to probably three camps now, maybe. And every time.
Mapair, Temper, and Costa Rica.
Yeah. And every time Thompson goes away from a camp, his form goes up, like he improves massively. Obviously, he's pumped because he's just come away from a weekend with beasts and we're all machines when we get going and we get after it, but it amps you up quite a bit, right? So you go home with a new vigor, a new excitement to get after it again, but hopefully then with more cues and really more focus on what to dial in on your execution as well, especially around the training side of things, okay? Obviously, we'll be touching on lifestyle. We'll be touching on a little bit of biochemistry with Greg. You know, Greg likes to talk about digestion, health, and so on. We give him some shit for it, but it's great. And we just want to make sure you're optimized and you have everything you need when you go back home, okay? So yeah, boys, if you're still on the fence or you're still looking at dates, let me know ASAP, and then we'll lock in your place ready for the next three and a half, four weeks. I look forward to seeing you all. Chris Clark's, he's still in the house, yes. Four camps for Chris. We're going to make it five. You need to let me know by the end of the week, man. We need to get you on this fifth one. So Chris has a running thing with one of the our other clients, John. So they have a good go at each other on these camps. It's a great thing to see. They push each other hard. It's not it's a little bit competitive, but they push each other really, really well. So that's what we want to see.
Extremely competitive.
We want camaraderie, we want everybody pushing each other. And it gives you another 10, 20% in a session for sure. Right? It's a good environment to be in. Everybody's there. Like if one of us isn't getting strong, I'm blaming everybody else. Like everybody should be pushing each other here, even in the community, right? That's why I love Saturday mornings where Mike sends his photo in. And I know you just got into the call now, Mike. Thank you. But everybody's putting their photos in, man. It's inspiring to see. You're getting after every week. You show up, you're kicking ass. Everybody should be getting fit together, you know, which is great. It's real good. So that's the type of atmosphere we want at MI40. We're going to raise the roof, take it back home, raise the WhatsApp group, and we'll take it from there. Gents, thank you so much for taking time out of your day and spending time with me talking about biochemistry and some peptides. Any other questions you have, as always, drop them in the WhatsApp group. Let us know how we can support you a bit more if we need it. And let's have a great end of the week, okay? Speak to you all soon, boys. Have a great week. Bye, guys.